Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We are continuing our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. I am thankful for what he is showing us in his word. It is marvelous to see the beautiful structure of God's word and how it teaches us. The last couple of weeks, we learned about the love that God wants us to use in ministering to people, in ministering to others. And he wants us to not only be motivated by that love, but he wants us to show that love to others. And the first phrase of chapter 14 shows us that this teaching on love is continuing into what he's about to talk to us about this morning. And so let's look at verse 1. It says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Now today we come to a passage of Scripture that addresses the use of two spiritual gifts, prophecy and tongues. As we discussed before, prophecy is the gift of discernment and proclamation of the word of God. It is the ability to see danger in sin, to see the danger of sin in someone's life, and then to be able to proclaim God's word, proclaim the truth to that person to help them in their lives. This is a wonderful gift. It is something that we all should desire, as Paul has said here in the very first verse. We should desire this gift, especially because it is the gift that helps people overcome the problem of sin in their lives. You see, the greatest problem anyone has in their lives is the problem of sin. That is why Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. That is why he sacrificed his life and rose again so that we could overcome our sin problem. And so that is why Paul says, especially we need to desire this gift where we proclaim the word of God to people in a way that helps them overcome their sin. It helps us see that they have that need, and that need motivates us to tell them the truth that will set them free from the burden of sin. And that's what I hope to tell you this morning as we go through this passage. I want you to remember that the reason why Paul is emphasizing this gift of prophecy above tongues and other gifts is because that is the means by which people overcome their greatest problem, sin. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they come to faith in Christ unless they hear the gospel? And so it's important that we embrace this teaching so that we can be effective tools in telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and doing it with that love that we talked about last week and the week before. Now, there is another gift discussed here, and it is the gift of tongues. Now, the gift of tongues is being able to speak someone else's language without having adequate time to learn it, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ may be spread. Now, we see this gift on display in Acts chapter 2. Where the disciples spoke to the audience, and everyone heard them speak in their own language. So this is very important that we grasp this clear understanding of what the gift of tongues really is. And according to the scriptures, it is the ability to speak in someone else's language so that they can hear the gospel, so that they can know the truth once again, so that they can know that truth to help them overcome that sin problem. So that is what the gift of tongues is. It is this being able to master a language in a supernatural way where you can convey the gospel in someone else's language so that they can be saved. Okay? So with that in mind, in the church at Corinth, the gift of tongues was being overemphasized. In many ways, it was being misused. And so that's why Paul is addressing this right here in chapter 14. He wants them to have the right motives. That's why he, as he was talking about spiritual gifts, he deferred in chapter 13 about speaking about love. And now he wants us to have the right emphasis as well. And so that we will have the right purpose. Okay? So the purpose is to proclaim the gospel. The emphasis, therefore, needs to be on those gifts that accomplish that goal. Okay? So, with that in mind, Paul recognizes that these problems in the church needed to be corrected. And so in the process, Paul reveals why we should desire to use spiritual gifts with love. So let's take a look at this passage and see how God has a purpose and plan in us using spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, look at verse 2 through 5 again. It says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification." Now, I want you to understand something here. We should desire to use spiritual gifts so that we can edify others. That is the clear purpose we see here Paul emphasizing. He says in verse 3, "But he who prophesies," in comparing tongues to prophecy, he says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men." And then later he says, "The church may receive edification." It's clear that Paul wants the people at Corinth and us as well to understand the purpose for using spiritual gifts. And one of those purposes is that we all might be edified, exhorted, and comforted in the Word of God. That's what we need to understand here. We need to see that this is not for our own selfish pleasure, not for our own being puffed up. It's not for our own inward edification, but it is for others to know the comfort and joy of the Lord through the Word of God. That is what it's for. There's a criticism here in Paul's tone that we need to see. Many people think that when he says, "but you edify yourself," that he's actually saying, yeah, that there is some benefit from you to just speak in a tongue that no one else can understand. But that's not what he's saying here. He's actually criticizing that kind of purpose. He's criticizing the idea that you would use a gift for anything besides exhorting others and edifying them. Now, he will say later on that if you engage your mind and your spirit in using spiritual gifts, it will bring a certain level of maturity to you. But what he really wants us to emphasize here, right from the very beginning, is that the use of spiritual gifts is to edify others. So, proclaiming the word to help people should be emphasized over a use of any particular spiritual gift. Okay? Now, look at verse 2. It says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." Like I said, here he's saying, hey, if you speak in a tongue that no one else can understand, and you can't even understand it, you're not helping anyone. If you speak in Spanish, suppose I was speaking in Spanish, and no one here understood Spanish. The only one who would understand anything that's here is Jesus. Jesus is in the midst of us, we know that. He'd be the only one that would understand anything that I said. And he would be the only one that could decipher it. So we need to see that. So what Paul is saying here, he's saying, look, speak a language that the people can understand. Yes, you may be able to speak a language, Spanish or Italian or Greek or whatever language. But when you do that, make sure there's some people that can speak that language, so that they can understand and be edified and exhorted and comforted by what you're saying. So it's really important that we grasp this, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So later on, we're going to look at this, and we're going to see that just speaking where you think you're speaking in your spirit to the Lord doesn't even profit you. And so later on we're going to see, unless our minds are engaged along with our spirit, then what we are doing is not useful. It's not useful. It doesn't edify us. It doesn't edify anyone. So understand the critical spirit in which Paul is trying to address some of these things. In verse 3 he says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." You see the contrast there? He's saying, look, I know that you guys have been using spiritual gifts for your own selfish desires. We found that out earlier when he was speaking about spiritual gifts in chapter 12. He says, I know you've been doing this to get for your own selfish desires, but I want you to know that's no good. That's no good. You should be preaching the word. You should be using these gifts for the edification, exhortation, and comfort of others. That's the purpose. So if all you're doing is, quote, edifying yourself, you're not using these gifts properly, even the gift of tongues. And so, not only that, he says in verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets. Now he's going to get into a different situation. He's going to get into a different thing in the next point here. That the church may receive edification. You see, this is about the church. Now, the second thing I want you to understand is this. We should desire to use spiritual gifts to minister the word of God. That is what these gifts are given to us for. Especially the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. That is what they are used for. We need to understand that. Even with the other gifts, like administration, mercy, giving, all those gifts really are surrounded by living out God's word, showing people through our lives the word of God. So we can really determine here that the goal of spiritual gifts is to infiltrate people's hearts and minds with the word of God so that they might be exhorted, so that they might be comforted. Well, anyways, in verse 6, he says this, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, that what shall I profit you unless I speak you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophecy, or by teaching, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known that what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easily understood, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks. And he who speaks with will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, for spiritual gifts, let it be for edification of the church, there it is again, that you seek to excel. Okay, so here, Paul gives a few illustrations to kind of clarify not only what the gift of tongues is, but why it's supposed to be used. He says this, he says, look, if you don't speak in a language that someone can understand, you are like an instrument that is just making noise and not really following the rules of music. There is a law to music. My wife could tell you a little bit more about that. She's a music teacher and she knows all the notes. And, you know, you can play a chord and it sound nice, and then you hit one key wrong in that chord, and you go, ooh, right? Well, that's how it is with music. If you don't play the right chords, no one really enjoys the song. It's the same way with the tone of music. You know, you can play scary music, and it sends a message, right? That scary music, you know, when at the start of a movie and they play the scary music, you know that what's going to happen. You know, Frankenstein's going to come out and something like that, okay, right? Well, if they're playing happy music and Frankenstein comes out, what do you think? Oh, this must be a parody on Frankenstein or a comedy, right? So there's a message that comes with music. When we don't speak a language that people can understand, when we're just burbling something that we don't even understand, we're sending the wrong message. It's not sending the message of the Word of God. It's sending a different message. It's the same with the trumpet. You know, a trumpet makes certain sounds that soldiers understand. And when those sounds are made, they are called to battle, they are called to get up, they are called to go to bed, all kinds of stuff. But when the trumpet just makes all kinds of funky sounds, they're like, what am I supposed to do with that? That's what we're talking about here. Paul says, look, don't be an instrument that just makes sounds that no one can understand. Don't be a trumpet that make sounds that don't mean anything to anyone. Be someone that when you use your gifts, people can understand what you're saying and it conveys the truths of Scripture and it's done in love so that they can receive edification, comfort, and exhortation from it. That is what we should be doing. So these illustrations make it clear what tongues is not. Tongues is not something that we just, you know, babble into the air and it just goes into the air. Like he says, it just goes into the air. That's not what it is. Now, if we speak a language, Paul says here, he says, if someone gets up in the congregation and uses the gift of tongues to proclaim the word of God, make sure there's someone there that understands what they're saying. So if we had a Spanish ministry here, we could have someone who we use the little earplugs and stuff, and they could interpret maybe the message that I'm preaching and interpret it in Spanish. Okay? So, but suppose someone just got up and they started speaking in Spanish. We would want someone here to interpret that so everyone in the congregation, or at least some people who speak Spanish, can understand what's being said and be exhorted by that. Okay? So let's remember that. That's exactly what we see the Apostle Paul doing. Because why? Because the purpose, another purpose of spiritual gifts, and a reason why we should desire them, is so that we can minister the word of God. So that is what God wants us to do. And when we do that, the whole church is edified. The whole church is edified, and it makes a wonderful environment. It really does. And that's what we need to understand here. God has a purpose for the church. Jesus has a purpose for this church. He does. To show this community his love. That is the purpose of this church. To show this community the love of Jesus Christ. And God has given each and every one of you spiritual gifts that he wants you to use to accomplish that goal. To accomplish telling others about Jesus Christ in a loving way where they actually see that you love them. And so when we look back at the past two chapters and we add it to this, we understand now that these gifts will not only exhort us and comfort us, but they'll show others the love of Jesus Christ. It really fulfills our purpose as a church. And I'm so grateful that God is revealing this to us. I want us to embrace the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ask him to tell us, to show us what gifts he's given us, and ask him to show us how we can use them to edify the church, to edify others, to help them know the truth so that they can overcome their sin problem. Finally, I want us to look at verses 13 through 19. It says in verse 13, "Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For indeed, give thanks well, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding than I may teach others, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue." Now, once again, keep in mind the undertone of criticism that the Apostle Paul has as he's talking about this gift. What I want you to see is this. We should desire to use these spiritual gifts to help our own spiritual maturity. Notice what he says here. He says, if I were to speak or pray or sing in just my spirit, then it's not fruitful. It's unfruitful, he says. It's not really helping me. It's not really helping anyone else. because my mind is not engaged. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about this. We talked about being a three-part person on Wednesday night, that we are body, you know, our flesh and blood, our mind, our intellect, and our spirit, what we call our heart. And so we are three-part beings. Now, in order for us to really mature as a person, we've got to both engage our mind and our spirit. We must engage both of them because they are connected and they affect each other as well. And so what we need to understand and what Paul is saying here is this. If I pray with just my spirit, then it's unfruitful for me because I have to engage my mind as well in order to really gain any maturity out of this. If I sing it with just my spirit, then without my mind, I'm not really getting what I need out of the worship, the singing that I'm doing, because I'm not engaging my mind. And so both of those are what Paul is encouraging us to engage as we use the gifts of the Spirit. He wants us to not only use our gifts with our spirit, but he wants us to engage our minds when we use them. That is what we need to see. This is not a mindless endeavor where we get slain in the spirit and we fall on the ground and we just jump around without thinking about what we're doing. That's not what Paul wants. He wants us to engage our minds while we're using our gifts so that we can as well get something out of it. You know, when he says exhorting and encouraging and comforting, that's what he wants for you as well. He wants you to be exhorted and comforted and edified when you're using your gifts. So it is important that we see this, that we see that the purpose and plan for us using spiritual gifts will not only help us see what gifts should be emphasized, which obviously the gift of prophecy should be emphasized. It's why we have a pulpit at the center of the church. It's why most of the service is taken up with preaching the Word of God. Because that is something that the Lord obviously commands us here to emphasize, and that's why we do emphasize it. But that doesn't take away from the idea that we should have use of the other spiritual gifts. It simply means that when we're using them, we keep in mind what our main purpose and goal is in using those gifts. So let's use our gifts with love in our hearts. Let's use them with God's purpose in mind and his plan in mind. Because when we use these gifts in this way, we are going to accomplish something wonderful. We are going to show people the love of Jesus Christ. We are going to help them with their greatest problem, the problem of sin. We are going to be able to show them how they can overcome their sin problem through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are going to be able to show them that Jesus loves them so much that no matter what they've done, they can have forgiveness for their sins, and they can have God's love in their lives, and they can have the joy of the Lord that will be their strength. And we can accomplish that not by our own acts, not by our own will, but by the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Let's ask the Lord to do that for us today, that he would work in us and through us to help others be edified, exhorted, and comforted.